Well, we are in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. If you'd like to turn your Bibles there, we also have some of the verses in your notes. But Hebrews 12 is where we've been looking this year. And last week we learnt a few lessons about God's curriculum. We've been looking at the school of faith and how when once we are saved, God puts us in a brand new school. It's not like the old school that we used to be in when we were at school. No, this is a brand new school. It's a school of faith. It's a school of continual education and testing and trials so that you and I can grow and you and I can be used of the Lord. And the forgotten subject we've been looking at recently is the subject of God's chastening. Of course, as you know, in verse 5, God says there's a subject that you all have forgotten, or that we tend to forget, that God dealeth with us as with sons. How does He deal with us? He chastens us. If you and I are not aware of how God educates us in the Christian life, then we will grow weary and faint in our minds. We will want to quit because we don't understand what's happening in our lives. So this is an important subject. And now we come to verses 11 to 13. Let's have a look in your Bibles. Chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read a few verses, verses 11 to 13. Remember, the Bible says, "Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And last week we looked at the exercising of our faith, God training us, God teaching us and testing us to grow. Verse 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." So here we see, and your lesson is titled this, God's workout program. And last week we saw God tailor makes a plan and a program for our lives, the way He deals with us. Each one of us are dealt with individually by God. He knows the areas of our weaknesses. He knows the areas of our strengths. And good to have a missionary with us, Brother Carl Johnson from the nation of Brazil. And as you know, the nation is gearing up for the big Summer Olympics. And most likely than not, most of the people are talking about the Olympics. And thousands of Olympians turn up to the Olympic Games, and the world looks on at their athletic feats. And we were reminded last week that that these athletes didn't just become perhaps the top athletes in their category overnight. No, there was a lot of training involved. There was lots of preparation. And each of these athletes have coaches, trainers, that whose job it is to make sure that they reach their peak performance. That's in a worldly sense, in a sporting sense. And those coaches, what do? They identify the weaknesses. And they work on those weaknesses and exercise those weaknesses and strengthen those weaknesses in order for that athlete to reach their peak performance. Now, in the Christian life, God has called us to live by faith, but that's not automatic. When we get saved, we begin to learn to walk by faith. And what God does, He steps into our lives and He chastens us. He works in those areas of your life and mine which need work. He works in those areas that are weak. He works in those areas that need to be strengthened. And if you and I are going to enjoy the benefit of His chastening, we need to allow Him to exercise us. Now, to many of us this morning, the word exercise is doesn't bring pleasant thoughts to mind. I remember when I was in high school, and as you also were, I'm sure you had sports classes, and every so once in a while, and you wouldn't know until you get changed into your sports gear and you lined up, and then the teacher said, "All right, today we're doing cross-country training." And I know most of us, we started to moan and complain because we knew that we had to do a lap of the oval and then run out past the stormwater drain and run all the way down a long path and come back. And it would take us the whole time to run. And we would run in the sun and we would run in the heat and it would be exhausting. None of us enjoyed the cross-country training. Maybe you did. Maybe you enjoyed it. But I remember I didn't have a good attitude about it. And, you know, there were some consequences to running well and there were some consequences to not running well. You know, if you put in some effort and you just ran, you'd get back to the finish line before lunch started. But if you were lazy like I often was and had a bad attitude and tried to resist the plan for the class and say, oh, okay, I'm not going to run, I'm just going to slough it off and I don't even want to do this anyway, guess what? The teachers were very clever, weren't they? That race, that cross-country run, cut into your lunchtime. So if you took longer than you should have, well, you'll just miss out on lunch. You know, I'm mindful in the Christian race, as we run the race, you and I can't avoid God's chastening. You and I can't avoid His training. He will deal with us as with sons if we are saved. He will. But the question is, will we choose to respond with a right attitude and then, yes, experience the pain of the training, yes, experience the correction and the training and the building up and the strengthening and reap the blessings, or will we resist it and suffer the pain anyway? See, it's one or the other. And God has an exercise program for us. See, His chastening isn't an option. The option is, though, how we respond to His chastening. So He will bring adversity into our lives. He will bring problems into our lives. He will bring people into our lives to help us to grow. And the most that we can get out of His training program is to say, yes, Lord, I need this. Yes, now it's not going to be easy. Think about the athlete. You know, it's not going to be easy. There's some grueling times ahead. But remember, if we only look at the present, God's chastening is not joyous. Isn't that what the Bible says? It doesn't seem joyous if we only look at the present. That's why we need to keep our focus on the afterward, upon the peaceable fruit of righteousness that will be blessed to those whom are exercised thereby. So God's chastening is coming. Now notice verse 12, and that's where we are at this morning. Notice what God says. He says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. You know, that's a perfect description of how I was running that cross-country race. You know, hunched over, couldn't be bothered, dragging my feet. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, God says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, what is God saying? Well, very simply, God is saying, look, you're meant to be running the race. Get up. Amen? That's what God is saying. He's saying, don't walk around hunched over. Stop moping around. Stop complaining, Christian. Get up. Amen? Get back in the race. Get going for God. Stop thinking about quitting. Stop complaining about your difficulties. You aren't the only ones, Hebrews 11, that face trials and testing in your lives. Wherefore, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us also, who will face trials and testings, run the race that is set before us. So here's the main theme of the book. The book of Hebrews was written to challenge these Jewish believers, these Jewish Christians, to get back up. They were failing in their faith. And God says, no, you need to press on. And in order to help you to press on, I'm going to chasten you, not to discourage you, but to help you. Not to kick you out of the race, but to strengthen you for the race. Don't think about quitting. Lift up the hands. And so this morning we're going to look at the first part in a three-part message about God's workout program, the strengthening of our hands. You see, the first thing the Lord wants us to do is to lift up the hands which hang down. So there in your notes, you've probably been wondering, What is this first blank? Okay, the first word is the word hands. Exercise your hands for work. So that's the first and only blank to fill in this morning in your notes. Exercise your hands for work. What does God's chastening program, His exercise program, what is it designed to do in our lives? Well, it's designed to lift up our hands for work. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Now, I don't know about you, but when I am discouraged, I do not serve the Lord. When I am discouraged, this is a perfect picture of me, my hands hang down. I don't want to do a thing for God. I don't want to lift my hands up and to serve Him when I'm discouraged, when I'm defeated, when I'm not keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ. And God wants to adjust our attitudes this morning. And He's saying in His words, if you understand how I'm working in your life and you're trusting me, the result should be a lifting up of those hands to be involved in the work of God. God has designed our training as Christians in the school of faith to be stronger in the work, to become strong in the work that He's called us to. Now, every Christian, every individual that is born again by the Spirit of God has been saved for a purpose. What is that purpose? One preacher put it well, we have been saved to serve. That's why we've been saved. Before, we could not serve the living God because we were dead in our sins and trespasses. But immediately, as soon as we receive Christ as our Savior, by repentance and faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. But we are not just saved to stand. Amen? We are saved to serve. God has left us here to glorify Him in our bodies and in our minds, which are Christ Jesus's, and we have been called to serve the Lord. We've been called to do that which we could not do before. We couldn't serve God before. We were alienated from God by our sins. But now that we are His children, what are His children to do? Well, we are to glorify the Lord. How? By serving Him. That's what liberty is in the Christian life. Being able to do what we could not do before, to serve God, to serve Him with our hands. So if our hands are hanging down, you and I are moping and complaining about our problems, maybe God wants to get our attention this morning and say, hey, it's possibly the reason for that is that we have taken our eyes off the Lord, that He's dealing with us and we're not saying, Lord, thank You for that chastening in my life. Thank You for correcting me. Amen? Thank You for dealing with me as a son so I can be strengthened and live out a life to the full potential of God and serve Him with my own two hands. Now, more than 50 times in the Bible, God talks about the work of a man's or woman's hand. Now, remember, work is not the result of sin. Work is not a consequence of the fall. Now, remember in the Garden of Eden, God put Adam in the garden, and what did He tell Adam to do? He told him to work. Adam, tend the garden. There was work for Adam to do. That was before sin came into the world. And there is a work that God has called all of us to do. And sometimes we get the wrong idea that, well, the pastor's meant to do the work. You know, that's his job. The church, the work of the church is his job. And look, if I can help out in any way, well, I guess that's a bonus. Friends, that is not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we are all saved to serve. God says that His will is to set us in the body of a local New Testament church, and we are all members one of another. We are all to work together. We all have a place and a part to play in the work of God, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Is that correct? That's what the Bible says, not just me. All of us who are saved are ambassadors. You know, back in Canberra, my dad worked in the hospitality industry, and he would work at different embassies at times doing catering work, and then he got a job at the Finnish embassy, the embassy of Finland, and he worked as the chef there for many years. And that's where he stayed. And I got to meet many ambassadors from different countries as I worked as a waiter and helped in the kitchen during my high school and uni years. And, you know, I noticed that ambassadors, they have a higher position than the average people. They represent the country. They represent their home nation in another country, and they have a high-ranking position, if you will, among the workforce of their nation. They are the representatives, and not everyone is able to be an ambassador. Not everyone is able to have that right and responsibility. And usually they send ambassadors, from what I experienced, to the third world first. Many of them had gone to Africa. Many had them had gone to Southeast Asia, to South America. And they had to basically experience the more difficult areas of government ministry first. And then sometimes, if they were blessed, they'd be sent to Australia. And a lot of them wanted to stay in Australia. But it was a privileged position. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly that the pastor is not the only one who's an ambassador. No, we are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Every single born-again Christian has the privileged calling of being a soul witnessing, a witnessing gospel preaching ambassador for the Lord. We are ambassadors, all of us. So the work is for God's people. He's all called us to serve Him. We are all to strive together for the faith of the gospel. We are all to pray. Amen. The Wednesday night prayer meeting is not just for those who are just a select few. That's not true at all. The Bible says we are all to pray without ceasing. We are all to pray always, everywhere. We are to gather together to pray as God's people. You see, the work of the ministry is for all. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Now, when it comes to our secular work as well, when it comes to our jobs in the world, do you realize that that's also, if it is God's will, if you are doing God's will, the Bible tells us that that is God's work too. If you are in the will of God, whether you are a plumber or whether you are a mechanic or whether you are working in a shop, or a machinist, or a missionary, whatever it may be, if that is God's will for you, then that is God's work. You are doing God's will. You are doing God's work. Notice Colossians chapter number 3, verses 22 to 24 in your notes. The Bible says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." See, if you and I work in the workplace in the fear of God, what does the Bible say? "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And God says, look, if you are in my will in a particular job in this world, I want you to approach that work as if you are serving me. If it's my will, then you're serving me. I don't want you to work to please the boss. I want you to work to please me, a high authority. And I want you to do it heartily, do it honestly as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And you shall receive a reward. Well, what does that mean? Well, there's no difference then between the secular and the sacred. All of our Christian life is meant to be a service to the Lord. In the workplace, in the church, in our homes, we have been saved to serve. And yet many of us in our Christian lives walk through the life, the race that God has set before us with our hands hanging down. And we're not serving God. And God challenges His people to lift up the hands which hang down. Notice at the bottom of your notes, over and over again, the Bible talks about the importance of work. Have a look in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. "And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." Romans 12:11. "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, and labour working with our own hands. Ephesians 4:28, it's not in your notes, but the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. That's what we used to do before we were saved. But rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. What's the point? Well, God has called us to work. He has called us to work. God has called us to be busy for him. Now remember, that kind of life of faith doesn't come naturally. The Bible says that the flesh is weak. Naturally, we are lazy. But the Spirit of God is willing. If we are going to serve the Lord, we need to submit to the Spirit of God. And guess what? If we are lazy, God will chasten us. He'll find the best way to correct us if we are lazy. Now, we could give a myriad of examples. Sometimes it's the embarrassment of being late to work and being convicted about our testimony. If we're really a Christian and our boss is upset at us, man, I haven't been a good testimony at work. And we are convicted and God chastens us. Maybe he chastens us by a financial loss because of our laziness. Maybe he chastens us by bringing events into our lives to wake us up, that we are walking around with our hands hanging down and we are not doing a thing for the glory of God. Why? Because God is serious about work. He has saved us to serve. You know, he may give you everything you want, by the way. If you are not in the will of God, and young people, if you are pursuing the dreams of your heart and your own plans, and you may never have it, though, but you're just striving after it like trying to chase the golden pot at the end of the rainbow. The closer you think you get, the further it is away, but you're chasing your own dreams, you're chasing your own plans. Guess what? God may give you what you want one day, but don't be surprised if he sends leanness into your soul. And when you have what you want, you realize it's not what you thought it would be. You see, God is able to chasten the Christian, and he will. He will correct us. He will educate us. He will exercise us in the area of our greatest weakness. Why? Because he has saved us to serve him. He has saved us to serve him. That's why we are here. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. How many of you remember the example of Moses? During the battle, Moses lifted up the rod of God. Every time he lifted it up, the army of God's people were winning the battle. And every time his hands dropped down, they began to lose. Now, there was a special lesson in that for God's people and for us this morning. What? What is that lesson? Well, along came two other believers. Along came Aaron and Hur, and they held up Moses' arms. They got alongside him. They said, Moses, you're exhausted. You can't do this on your own. And they held up his arms, and then God's people began to win again. God's work began to go forward, if you will. Well, what's the lesson? Well, we are all to serve the Lord together, not just one individual. Not just the pastor, or not just the one member here or one member there, but we are all to work together. And individuals cannot do it on their own. If individuals are left to do the bulk of the work of God, then the ministry and the work of God will fail, and it will be our fault. We are to lift up each other's hands. It's not just important to allow God to work in our lives to serve him, but we are to lift up one another's hands. Amen? Now listen. When it comes to serving God, we need to be an encouragement to one another. We need to be a help. You know, as a pastor, I need your help to serve the Lord. If you're not serving the Lord, then, you know, as pastors in years past, many of them have quit because it's just become too much. You know, when a pastor begins to do the work of a deacon and not a pastor, then he's not obeying the Lord. What are deacons to do? They are to do a lot of the running around. Okay? That's what the Bible tells us. And they had to do a lot of the running around and the following up and the administration, you know, and all the background stuff. What's the pastor meant to do? Well, preaching the word, teaching the word. Prayer is preeminent. But if the pastor is trying to hold up his hands and all these other things are loaded on and the weight is growing heavier and heavier, well, if someone doesn't step in and say, yes, I want to serve the Lord, yes, I want to take that load, then that weight will be too heavy. And then ultimately the pastor will be discouraged. He'll quit. That's what happens oftentimes in the ministry. But our church doesn't need to be that way, does it? No, if you desire to be in a church that's moving forward, my friend, you need to lift up your hands. Amen. You need to get involved in the work of God. You need to commit to God in membership. You need to commit to God in service. And then let's expect the Lord to bless mightily. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Now, if that is your desire this morning, say, yes, I want to serve the Lord. Well, stop for a moment. As we draw to the end of the lesson, here's the point. God will have to step in to make that happen. Amen? He's going to exercise you and I. And no doubt He's doing that right now. But how are you responding to His chastening? How are you responding to His correction? You know, I think Joseph is one of the greatest examples of God's training program in the life of a young man. Remember, the word chastening does not only mean a punitive correction as a result of sin. The word chastening means to educate. It means to train. It's not always a direct response to sin. Now, Joseph, for example, what did he do as a living when he was with his dad in his father's house? Yes, that's right. He was destined to be a shepherd if he stayed there, just like his brothers. A herdsman, a shepherd. But was that God's will for his life? Yes or no? No, it wasn't. In fact, God's will and plan for Joseph's life was far greater than he could possibly imagine. But Joseph wasn't ready for the will of God. What did God have to do? Well, God had to step in and prepare this young man for God's destiny. God wanted him to lead a great nation. And in order to do that, he had to go through trials and tribulations and struggles in order to increase his faith in God. Is that right? That was the chastening of God. The training, the education, the lessons of faith he learnt during those trials were preparing him for the day that he would come face to face with Pharaoh, be elevated to a position second to only Pharaoh himself, and then he would see his brothers once again and preserve a people from whom the Messiah would come. What an amazing story. What an amazing account of the destiny of God for Joseph. But it did not come. It did not come without the necessary trials of his faith. Every step of the way, as he was thrown into prison, as he was falsely accused, as he was forgotten about, as he was abandoned, as he experienced the rejection of his brothers and the hatred that came with it, all of those trials were testing Joseph's heart. Would he trust in the living God? You know, many of us would have loved to have the responsibility that Joseph had. Maybe you read through Joseph's story and go, wow, what would it have been like to be in that place, that responsibility? What would I have done? And many of us would like that privileged position in the service for God. But the problem is, many of us wouldn't be willing to go through what Joseph went through to get there. Amen? And that's the problem in the Christian life. We're not willing for God to deal with us. We're not responding to his chastening. When he corrects us and deals with an area of our life, what do? We drop our hands. That's it. I give up. That's it. I quit. I can't take this. God doesn't love me. And we allow unbelief to come into our lives. And we resist the chastening of God. Isn't that what the Bible says? Don't resist it. The Bible says very clearly, don't faint. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. And so if we understand that God is dealing with us in order to help us to lift up our hands, well, we need to respond rightly. Someone once said, don't pray for lighter loads, pray for stronger arms. Amen. God is strengthening you right now through His chastening work. Let me encourage you to accept it. Let me encourage you to accept the problems and the pressures with God. He's strengthening your hands. And no one ever does anything great for God without trials and testings. Don't despise them. So God is exercising us. That's His training program. He's going to strengthen our arms, just like weightlifting. Okay? He's going to add greater weights. Why? To increase our potential to serve Him. He'll add them as He chooses, as He knows best, as He sees fit. But don't despise it. Don't faint. Lift up the hands, amen, which hang down. God knows they hang down. Some of you are hanging down right now spiritually. And you've been hanging down there for a while. And guess what? God says, lift them up. Lift them up. It's time to work. It's time to serve the Lord. It's time to accept His training program and get up and get going for God. Amen.